I have my new friend, Matt. Do you like to say, like, all your, like, all three of your names?
Yeah, please say them all.
Okay. All right. Maggie Murdoch Nichols. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
This is the first time she's been at my house. Not the first time we met.
No, we met at Artini. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I was a judge that night.
Yeah.
So I had VIP status, and then you won tickets.
Yes, I won tickets through Edible OKC, which we'll talk about.
Yes, that's right.
In a little bit, but yeah, and then we went up. We didn't know. I brought my friend Cindy, and we didn't know that that was the VIP area. And then we got up there and just like having fun.
You're up there with me, the VIP. Yeah. I'm glad we met.
Yeah. And that's when I was first starting OKC Over Easy. I don't know if I had I think I had maybe like a couple episodes out, but like not a ton. But can we talk about how Artini, like, you feel terrible the next day?
Mm-hmm. Because you have, like, 100 little martinis.
And they're, like, all really sugary. They're all, like, great.
Yeah.
But they're all so sugary.
I'm trying to get girls to like them, and girls like sweet things. Yeah. And yeah. Now, I finally had to switch to beer and then just call it good.
Yeah.
Because but you know, Prairie Wolf Vodka. They did all the vodka, and it was really good. I'm glad it was a local, and I can't really drink a lot of
vodka?
No.
I like...
Is that your drink?
Gin.
Me too. Yeah. Okay. If I'm going to drink liquor, gin or tequila.
Oh, tequila?
Yeah.
I had a very, very bad experience.
Everyone has, yeah.
But you, like, came back from it.
I did. Well, I started, like, sipping it instead of taking, like, a shot with a lime. There's a local guy. It's not local tequila because that doesn't make sense.
Right.
But there's a local guy that has tequila. It's called Viejo Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
It's around some of the bars in town.
Okay.
But
is it?
I'll bring it over sometime.
Okay.
It's really good.
Is it tequila or is it mezcal?
I think it's tequila.
Okay, because I was reading this book. I don't read that often, but I was reading a book the other day, and they were talking about agave. And how, like, some things are mezcal and some things are tequila, but it's basically, like, the same thing. But tequila is, like, you know how champagne is only champagne if it's made...
A certain region.
In a certain region?
Yeah.
That's what tequila is. Which I was like,
It's tequila.
Okay, yeah. Perfect.
Because of where it is. I can't remember exactly where it's located. My friend, Jonna, is their rep.
Okay.
She could tell you all about it.
I'll have
but
to
she,
try
like,
that.
Won me over to tequila and drinking it like an adult.
Wow. I used to take shots of tequila. Mom, stop listening. I used to take shots of tequila with an orange, cinnamon sugar.
Oh.
And cinnamon sugar. So you, like, lick the cinnamon sugar, take the tequila shot, and then eat the orange.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah. It tastes like apple pie, kind of.
Sounds better than salt and lime.
It's a lot better than salt and lime. But if you take too many of those after a spring sing party in college, then it's just like...
It's not
you just, like, you just don't. You don't go back. You don't come back from that. So I'm going to start with my eat of the week. San Marcos. On May and I-40. I don't know my highways. Yeah.
Well.
Is that right? It's like down the street from here.
No, not I-40 then.
50th and May.
Okay, that sounds more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, so I was at Sam's Club, which is, we just had a, like, earlier when we were talking, we had a moment about Sam's Club, and she's like, I love Sam's Club. Me too, girl. I was at Sam's Club buying myself flowers on a Saturday night. Which,
like you do.
Yeah, like you do. And it was, like, blustery outside, and I was like, I'm really hungry, so that there were no samples out. And I went to San Marcos because the Lost Ogle said it was good one time.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in, and I got my food to go. I got the Pizza Dilla de... something. I can't remember what the last word was. But it was basically like a quesadilla, but like double. And it was kind of like a souped up quesadilla. Then it came with a full setup. Queso, not great. But salsa good. Chips good. Rice and beans good. Guac and sour cream good. I guess you can't really mess those up. And I got horchata because I was like feeling myself, you know. And it was great, and it was reheated well the next day, And at first, they, like, handed me the bag, and they were like, all right, that'll be whatever. And the guy, like, kind of mumbled. And then I signed the receipt, and it was only $2. And I think he just charged me for the horchata instead of my whole meal, which I could have just, like, walked out. But I was like, you didn't charge me for all of those.
Oh, you're so
like,
nice.
Yeah. So I don't usually do that. But I was like, okay. But it was great. I think I would like to go in there and, like,
sit down.
Yeah. So that's my E of the Week. So check it out. Also, check out the Lost Ogles review on it, because that's, like, what stuck in my mind whenever I went to go eat there. So have you been there?
I haven't been to that one. I've been to one down by the airport.
Wait, there's another one?
I'm pretty sure.
So should we add that to our great Oklahoma restaurant chains? Spoiler alert.
Maybe we should. Now I'm kind of doubting myself, but I think there's another one.
Spoiler alert, that's what we're talking about today. So get excited. So grocery gab this week, I did an Instagram story, like my first like real Instagram story this week. Nice. And Maggie said she watched the whole thing, which I truly appreciated. But it was a grocery store haul, which usually only, like, 19-year-olds that are YouTubers that live in L.A. do.
19-year-olds don't grocery shop.
That is real. I didn't grocery shop when I was a 19-year-old. But I went to Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, and I was like, this looks like my life is together.
It did appear that way.
So I'm going to show everyone what I ate. The Instagram story is gone by the time you're listening to this, but I'll keep doing more. But I also do fridge tours on my Snapchat.
Okay.
And that, have you ever seen someone do that? It's kind of like MTV Cribs.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, they show what's in their fridge. And I usually ask people to, like, send me their fridge back. And it's, like, the most random people do it. And it's incredible. And it's, like, not my, like, real close friends, but, like, some acquaintances, you know?
And they'll totally show you their fridge.
Yeah. And it's, like, you see you see into their, like, life. Yeah. It's, like, I feel like that is a really telling.
It's really telling.
Mm-hmm.
Especially how organized it is. And, like, if there's a bunch of to-go containers in there. Yeah.
Are you, like, a water bottle in the fridge type of gal, or no?
No. Okay. I don't use water bottles.
Okay.
I have, like, reusable things that I fill up. I fill it up with tap water, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not fancy.
No, I'm not fancy. Like, the plain old tap water. I do like LaCroix, though.
Okay.
So I like water products. So.
Let's get into LaCroix, then, because I am a LaCroix fan. The love is waning in a certain type of way because the carbonation is so strong.
Yeah.
So, like, my stomach really sometimes can't handle it. But tell me your favorite flavors.
My favorite flavor, it was always lime.
Okay.
And now I really like tangerine. And tangerine used to be exclusive to Whole Foods, but it's not anymore.
All right.
You can get it at Crest.
Really?
I like to shop there. It's local.
Crest is a local chain. Crest is the winner of the grocery gauntlet this year.
Yeah.
So.
I like Crest.
Shout out to Crest.
Mm-hmm.
All, like, forever shout out to Crest. Go ahead.
No, yeah. So they have tangerine.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like it. But I've just recently kind of started being into just the water.
Okay. Pure is good.
It is good.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's just water. But I also really like San Pellegrino and, I just really like sparkly waters. Mm-hmm. And when I worked for Whole Foods, that was, like, what I drank all day, which became very expensive because I was buying water.
Yeah.
Although with the discount, it was nice. But that was kind of a thing that, like, you'll probably see people who work at Whole Foods do this. They'll buy, like, a pretty big bottle of San Pellegrino and just drink it all day.
Why?
Is it just a culture thing? Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, I think I did it because I liked it, but maybe it was, like, just something that people did and I wanted to do it too.
That's really interesting. Was anyone like, hey, let's get a soda stream in here? Like, or no?
That would have been more sustainable.
Because I've looked at soda streams before I like sparkling water too. But I've just never, that's like one of those kitchen gadgets where I'm like,
well, what if it stops working?
And it's like it's going to take up space and it's not like a KitchenAid that it's like pretty.
It can only do one thing.
Yes, it can only do one thing. That is very true. I started out with a love of grapefruit. I can't handle grapefruit really much anymore. Mm-hmm. This is going to be really controversial, but I love coconut.
Yeah. I'm glad you do. So you're like, the reason why it's still on the shelves.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know. Something about it reminds me of sunscreen.
That's because it smells like sunscreen.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily taste like sunscreen. Okay, so my friend Megan, who I used to work with, did a Snap story one time, and she had, she said, okay, this is my, like, nightly mocktail. And she had this, like, big mug. She took a coconut LaCroix, poured it in the mug. She's like, you have to let the bubbles breathe. Like, she had this whole thing, and then she squeezed half a lime in it,
mm-hmm.
and I tried it, and like now that's like what I drink when I just want it.
Good.
Yeah, it's like super refreshing, and then the lime kind of cuts the coconut like sugary kind of sweetish flavor.
That sounds good.
So that's what I've been doing. But I like pure peach pear will like always have like a really mm-hmm. like place in my heart. But yeah, I like LaCroix. I'd been watching their stock for a while, trying to figure out if I wanted to like get in, but I think it was like way too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it may be too late, and I kind of always wonder I kind of wonder what's happening.
It's on the downhill.
I've been
slide.
Reading about it because that's just who I am.
Really?
Yeah.
What have people been saying?
Well, I think people are saying it was kind of a trend, but I'm not sure because I still really like it.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't like Instagram or Snapchat about my love for it, but
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. I haven't been buying it as much as I did in the past.
Yeah. I like it in the summer, though. I think it's kind of a seasonal thing for me.
Okay.
Because right now I don't want, like, I don't know, I don't want to crack open a cold LaCroix. Like,
no.
I kind of just have my tap water.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't know how we got to LaCroix. Oh, but, fridge tours.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So I did a fridge tour, and I went to Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, and I was like, this is, like, the Nichols Hills, like, you know how, like, they say Trader Joe's, like, targets towards, like, Nichols Hills, like, stay-at-home, like, wives and moms. That's, like, what I felt like when I was there. And mm-hmm. I was listening to, which I don't usually listen to music when I grocery shop, but I was listening to Death Cab for Cutie Plans, like, that whole album. And I was like so relaxed. It was the best Sunday activity ever. So shout out to them, and then just keep checking my social media if you think I'm cool, and watching my hauls. So we're gonna talk about you.
Okay.
So just like give me like a little spiel, you know, one of those like elevator speeches on you.
Okay. Well, I grew up here. Mm-hmm. I grew up just north of here in Edmond.
Mm-hmm.
And my family's from here. They, my parents grew up here. They mm-hmm. grew up in, like, the uptown, like, Belle Isle area. So it's
okay.
kind of cool to see the area now.
Mm-hmm.
But what else?
Where'd you go to college?
I went to OU.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, and I studied sociology and nonprofit organizational studies.
Okay.
And I used nonprofit for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. In sociology, I feel like you use that every day.
I just,
you know, analyzing people and all those things. I am really into reading and learning about things,
mm-hmm.
kind of like introverted in that way, like kind of wanting to just absorb a lot of things, which mm-hmm. kind of like led me to a love of cooking and food, which we can get into that.
Yeah.
I am married.
Okay.
I've been married to my husband David for 2 years.
Okay.
2.5 years, I guess now.
Mm-hmm.
He's great. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm married to him, but
we like,
have,
I think he's, okay.
He's really supportive and great and likes to eat my food.
Okay.
So he's very encouraging of my journey in that way.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I used to be like, I hated cooking and, like, would cry about it.
Okay.
But I don't do that anymore. I've grown up.
What do you mean you hated cooking and you would cry?
So, my mom is a cook.
Okay.
And I was sometimes in the kitchen with her, but mostly my older sister was. And being close in age, I didn't really want to be like my sister.
Okay.
So, I wanted to be doing something else. And that was more, like, kind of playing on my own and kind of doing my own thing.
Uh-huh.
And then as I got older, I realized that my mom was really good cook, but I didn't really know how to do anything.
Okay.
So I got by, got through college, and like I knew how to do simple things. Mm-hmm. But when we got married, not at all did he like have the like housewife expectation of me cooking dinner, but yeah. I wanted to.
Yes. Yeah.
And we cooked together a lot, but it was frustrating to me. I just mm-hmm. didn't really know. I wasn't comfortable. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that I just had to figure out.
Yeah.
And then I worked for Whole Foods and did marketing for them here in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. And just being around all the food and being around all these people that are in the industry. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of them were cooks or chefs and came from the restaurant business mm-hmm. to work for Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. This is a great place to work.
Yeah.
So just being around people helped mm-hmm. me a lot. I have a friend, her name is Jalillian. She helped me a lot learn how to cook. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that, there's just something about them that they're willing to share knowledge. Mm-hmm. And she's one of those people that really just, mm-hmm. Helped me.
Yeah.
And not in like a way that she thought I needed help, mm-hmm. but that I was kind of asking, and she was addressing like little questions here and there. So yeah, I love to cook now. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I kind of had the same experience as you because, there's a point where you like graduate from college and you kind of, I got a full-time job, soon after college, but I worked as a waitress in a restaurant mm-hmm. for about a year, like during that time of graduating college and then trying to find a full-time job. And then, so working in a restaurant was really eye-opening to me. I worked in an Italian restaurant, so there was lots of things that like I hadn't been exposed to before and then I got to see. But then it's like that kind of like growing up a little bit yeah. and like taking care of your body and relaxing like in the kitchen after mm-hmm. work or like whatever. But yeah, I got frustrated too. Like I didn't have any skills.
Yeah.
My dad always was the cook, but I never had any interest of like being in the kitchen with him.
Yeah.
So then that's when you have to like learn everything yourself.
Right.
And then once you do it that way, it's like so rewarding.
Yeah.
You know?
I used to make phone calls to my mom, like, in mm-hmm. the kitchen, and I would be so frustrated, and mm-hmm. I would be like, how do you do this? And she yeah. said, I don't really know, I just do it. Mm-hmm. That was so irritating to me, because it was like, how can you just do it? But yeah. now that's kind of where I am.
Yeah.
When people ask me, like, hey, how did you do that? Like, mm-hmm. what? I'm just kind of like, well, I'll walk you through it, but I love recipes, and I love reading, like, mm-hmm. Recipe books. Mm-hmm. But I don't usually follow them. I mean, when I bake, I, of course, follow a recipe.
Yeah.
But as far as cooking, I just kind of, like, because learn it's experience
like a,
and...
It's like a together. Set of skills that you have to learn, and then you can apply it to everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really... That's interesting to me that we have that, like, same kind of experience and, like, learning how to cook. And
yeah.
it's, like, it's a real growing experience, too.
It is.
And once you have it, it's, like... Oh, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. Side note, if you do like learning stuff, I'm inviting you right now. If you do like learning stuff, I am taking a class at Francis Tuttle.
Oh.
Eggs Benedict.
Oh, nice.
So you learn how to poach an egg. You uh-huh. learn how to, already know all that stuff.
I know how to poach an egg.
Uh-huh. You learn hollandaise.
I haven't made
you
that
learn
before.
All that stuff. I took a class last January and it was chef knife skills.
Oh, I need to take that. I have like scars.
from the knife.
Yes.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
Really interesting. Francis Tuttle is a great, it has great facilities.
Yeah.
Like they have tons of cool classes. It's like kind of a little hidden gem.
Well, they
I
have
feel
a whole
like.
Culinary program.
Yeah.
Like a good one.
Yes.
Yeah, I've totally thought about and I need to like take a knife skills class.
I will show you. I have the catalog right there. We
okay.
can look at it after. But I'm gonna do that and I'm gonna do a kombucha class too.
Oh fun.
Yeah. So then you get like
you're
this...
doing a kombucha class there?
Uh-huh.
Fun.
You get like the SCOBY or
yeah.
whatever and you
I just bake... killed my SCOBY or I would give you
one.
It's like really hard to do, but I did it.
Good
I
yeah,
feel bad about it.
Good for you. What do you mean? It's really hard to kill it?
Yeah, so your SCOBY, uh-huh. it stands for a symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast.
Okay.
So it has to keep feeding itself.
Like okay.
it's like a loop that uh-huh. has to be filled, and you do it with sugar and tea.
Okay.
So I just kind of forgot about mine, uh-huh. and it just completely dried up. And I've let one dry up before and, like, brought it back to life.
Uh-huh.
But then I finally, like, I just forgot about it.
Yeah. Because
if you're not drinking it,
mm-hmm.
it, you know, it's just not on your mind. Mm-hmm. We moved, and then I just put it in a closet and forgot. And my husband doesn't really like to see it. He's like, could you just, like, put that away?
Yeah, in the catalog, they called it, like, tea fungus. And my friend that is going to do the class, too, she was like, I don't like that.
Yeah, it's just, you don't think about it too much.
Yeah.
But I like what I've made at home. Mm-hmm. I like what's in the store better because mm-hmm. of the carbonation.
Yeah.
A lot of them have carbonation put into them, which I know, that's, you know, it has its drawbacks, but I love bubbles.
Yeah.
Like I need some of that.
Like aforementioned LaCroix.
Yes. I need the bubbles.
So we kind of talked about cooking a little bit, but do you like cooking more or eating out more?
Yeah. I go through phases.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be a little bit of a homebody.
Mm-hmm.
So cooking is fun because mm-hmm. I like to be at home and make dinner and then just be able to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But I love, like, a good
meal out.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do. But I'm kind of, like, specific about where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like good service.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I'm a good person. Like, I am a good person to be served. Like, because I don't know. I've served tables. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying I'm perfect, but
right.
I kind of understand.
Uh-huh.
So I love the restaurant experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would probably say 60% of the time I want to eat at home because
uh-huh.
I want to cook.
Yeah.
And 40% I want to eat out.
Yeah.
But when I don't cook for a while, I really, like, miss it
mm-hmm.
and feel a little cranky.
I
just kind of need to be home.
Yeah, and, like, it makes
yes.
you feel balanced. And,
mm-hmm.
like, even the food that you're eating, like, you don't know what you're eating in a restaurant.
Yeah.
It could have a ton of butter in it. It could have whatever.
Yeah.
And when you're making it at home, you know every single thing that's going into it.
Yes. Yeah. And part of the journey of, like, learning to like cooking,
mm-hmm.
my husband always does the dishes, and that's, like, so nice.
Yeah. Well, that's really nice. Like,
get a husband.
Nice. Yeah. Hey, if anyone would like to marry me, no,
do
I'm just kidding.
No, he's always just helped in that way. Like, and we don't, I feel like I've said things twice about me cooking dinner and he does the dishes. Like,
yeah.
We have a very, like, we're just egalitarian relationship, but that's just kind of his thing.
Yeah.
And I like to cook, and sometimes if he tries to cook, I'm like, I'll just do it.
You're like, please step away from the kitchen. That's how my parents are. Like I said, my dad was a cook, and then my mom always did the dishes.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to touch on, like, just very briefly, it's interesting that you said service is, like, super important to you. We were talking about my friend Erica earlier, who moved to Portland, and I was FaceTiming with her last night, and she said, in Portland, it's like you have to factor out service completely because all service is terrible there.
Yeah.
She's like, maybe if you're, like, at a really nice restaurant,
yeah,
which is so funny for me to think because, like, I factor in service so much,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then to go to, like, maybe another city that doesn't really, like, the culture is different.
Yeah.
I just have been thinking about that the past day
it's
or so.
So true. Like, I have had meals and experiences ruined because, like, bad service. And then I, like, have a hard time going back.
I'm
like, I'll try it, but
I'm not going to name names, but I have, like, banned one restaurant in Oklahoma. I'll tell you after, but, like, because of their service. I love the restaurant. I love the concept, love everything, but not going back.
And I'm not, like, a tattletale, but I have had times when, like, I know, say, the general manager or
mm-hmm.
the chef at a restaurant, and they say, like, hey, how was everything?
And
they're
like,
the food was great. And we'll kind of leave it at that. But I think it is important for feedback. And I mean, people can go on Yelp and Facebook, and they can, like, blast stupid things.
Yeah.
But service is something that I think if you're having a hard time with your server or your
mm-hmm.
whatever – then, like, something should be said at that time,
yeah.
if possible. Like, don't go on Facebook or Yelp and talk about a specific person.
Yeah.
That is so, you have no idea what that person has going on.
Yeah, or,
so
like, what they went through that day.
Yes, I always try to be super
mm-hmm.
kind and, like, you know, kind of kill them with kindness.
Yeah.
But it hasn't happened. I think Oklahoma City is, like, really
mm-hmm.
good about it.
Yeah.
And it's a small town.
Yeah.
So if you're
so
rude at one
knows.
Place, they're like, I'm not hiring you. I heard you about, you know.
Yeah.
You can't really get away from, it's very tight-knit.
Yeah.
So.
So you love food. Did you always know that you liked food? I know your mom, you said your mom was in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But were you always kind of, like, enamored with food? Mine came on a little later in life.
Yeah.
Like, I always liked to eat, and I always liked food, but I think starting to write, I wrote for a website for about 2 years, and I did like recipe development and like food and music. Mm-hmm. And so food and music, and then like baking and music. And so that's when I, and then along with like learning to cook, that's when I kind of was like, okay, yeah, like I'm really interested in this, and this is something I'm passionate about. Was it kind of later in life or just early?
Yeah, I think I had like a two-step phase. Like, okay. My mom was a cook and caterer and a baker. Mm-hmm. So she's a good cook. Mm-hmm. So I have always liked good food. Mm-hmm. And have always seen, like, my parents serve in that way. Uh-huh. Like, hosting, hospitality, mm-hmm, feeding people is, like, my mom's love language.
Okay.
So I've always been around that, and food is kind of my love language. So mm-hmm, we go well together. But, so, and I kind of told you about not really being in the kitchen very much, but being around mm-hmm a lot. And I worked in bakeries through high school and college.
Okay. Oh, that's so fun.
It was so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That feels like a movie.
Yeah. Like, I loved it. It was so fun because people are usually pretty happy when they come into a bakery because they're getting a cookie.
Yeah.
Or something. So.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. People, I mean, it's usually.
That's nice.
Yeah. So that was kind of, you know, my experience with food. Mm-hmm. But then my love for food kind of came later, I guess, when I learned, like, how to cook and how, mm-hmm, or how to cook for myself. Because mm-hmm I could have followed a recipe mm-hmm at that time, mm-hmm, but now I'm able to cook what I want, and mm-hmm I can, like, think of flavors that will go well together, mm-hmm, and I don't necessarily need to reference a recipe.
And also, like food that, like, your body responds well to.
Oh, yeah, because I have certain, like, certain things, certain flavors, certain mm-hmm spices that I just, like, I don't prefer them.
Yeah.
So I just don't use them.
Like,
and
cumin. Do you like cumin?
You know, it kind of depends, okay, in moderation. But mm-hmm if I can, I have like a pretty sensitive palate, and okay, it's nothing that I've trained. Like, it's just kind of what it is. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes wish it weren't so sensitive, because mm-hmm I can be like really pungent. I was at a dinner the other night, mm-hmm, and there was some, I shouldn't give any more details. So there was a flavor that was like punching me in the mouth.
Okay.
And
you were like, no.
And my husband couldn't taste it, but someone else that I was with could too.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, it would kind of be easier if I could just enjoy this salad.
Yeah.
But then it was all that I could think about. And yeah, I think it is something about, like, just if something's too overwhelming or something's too salty, I just like I can't get over it.
Yeah.
Like, I have to. I don't like send feedback for any mm-hmm reason like that. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out where I was going with that. But so my love for food and picking out flavors, mm-hmm, like that kind of, you know, came later. But mm-hmm then I just love food people. Like,
yeah,
people who like to cook. And I'm not saying people who like to cook and people who like to eat and mm-hmm be in like community with each other mm-hmm in that way.
Yeah.
And talking about food. Mm-hmm. I think you usually like dogs too. Yeah. And you usually like to drink beer.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I don't know, there's certain characteristics about people who really want to be at the table together, not necessarily in a physical sense, but like just being at the table of collective sharing and mm-hmm kindness. I think that goes really far. And I think within the food industry, that's very evident. Mm-hmm. Like in Oklahoma City, all of our chefs are friends, and like mm-hmm all of the industry people are truly friends and they hang out together. Mm-hmm. And I've just been really excited to watch that develop and kind of in some ways be like accepted into it, mm-hmm, which is just super, super
awesome.
Kind for people to let me in and let me tell their story. Cause mm-hmm that's really, I'm so passionate about mm-hmm advocating for local producers. I don't want to be a farmer.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily have a great product idea, mm-hmm, but I really want to help them have what they need mm-hmm to keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
So
that kind of segues into like what your job in Oklahoma City is and like kind of why I invited you on and like how I know you. So you do marketing for Edible OKC, mm-hmm, which is a quarterly.
It's at every other month.
Okay.
Print publication.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's a food magazine, and they have beautiful photography. They have great articles about local, you know, like restaurateurs, mm-hmm, and also. Like Abel from Savory Spice Shop was mm-hmm in an article. One of my favorites was the Korea House one,
yes,
in Del City. Cause
yeah,
that it was nice. I'm from like the Mid Del area, so I'm from Choctaw.
Okay.
So like I, you know, have been around.
Have you been there?
I have. I haven't been there. Because aren't they doing, they're doing renovations right now.
Are they? I haven't been, and I want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was some great Asian food in Midwest City, like, when I was growing up. So that is, like, a huge part of, you know, my memories of food there. So it was cool to see, like, that part of the city represented because it doesn't really get, you know.
Doesn't get a lot of love,
you know. So, but yeah, so you do marketing for them. You also do some freelance stuff and are, like you said, like an advocate for food people. And, you know?
Yeah, I really just love local food and good food. And I'm kind of just a storyteller by nature. And I tell people about what I like. I can't help it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's brought me to some cool places, cool things and projects, but mostly just really great.
That was, like, I was telling you earlier, like, the most surprising thing about doing this podcast was, like, I really like talking to people about food. Obviously, I like eating food. I like going out to eat. I like cooking. But then all the friends that I've made, like, through this, even if they aren't necessarily, like, food people or in the industry, they, like, love food.
Yeah.
So it's, like, that's been, I think, like, the most fun because everybody has just, like, a generally good spirit and, like, you know, sense of being, I guess.
It's true.
So,
yeah.
That's awesome. So you have been, you worked for Whole Foods and then you're working with Edible OKC and doing some other stuff. So what's, like, kind of the coolest things that you've gotten to do, with food?
Yeah.
Like, is there one standout experience that, like, that was awesome?
I really love, Urban Agrarian.
Okay. Yeah. And what I feel like I knew you were going
to
say that.
Yeah. I really love what they do and what they're trying to do and, like, their plans for growth and, the future. I really love their farm to table dinners and I love shopping there. I think they've done a lot for farmers markets, just by being a presence there. So it's been really cool to see, all the people that have been touched by them, all the people that have interacted with them. And there's a lot of local chefs that use their food. And it's been great getting to know Matt, Matt Birch, who started Urban Agrarian. And then just the people that have worked for him or currently work for him. But really, those experiences have been really cool. And I think that's, that kind of says, like, you know, I knew Urban Agrarian. I shopped there. I knew what it was. But I didn't necessarily know the story behind it. And I didn't know how many people were involved in starting it and making sure it still exists.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that goes for everyone as far as supporting them and shopping there. So
I use a bunch of Urban Agrarian stuff in my State Fair grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
And it was super fun. Like, I mean, I go there. I like that area in the summer. I went in the other day and I was like, looking for a tomato or something. Obviously they're not gonna have it, you know. So I was like, but yes, I love that area too. And well, that's a great resource.
It teaches you to cook seasonally, like whether you're trying to or not. I think that's something that
because they have those winter squashes like all over, you know.
I mean, it is teaching our bodies like what to look for. Like right now they have some citrus. I think some of them are from Texas, but local is considered within 500 miles. So it is still local.
Yeah.
So citrus is like its peak season during the flu season. And like that's, you know, for a reason to like help our bodies get the nutrients we need. And so same thing for so many of the vegetables that are seasonal and go in and out of season. We should really let them be out of season.
Yeah.
And buy them when they're good.
Yeah.
And then when we're doing that, we're showing farmers that's what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And then that allows them to plan. But when we demand good tomatoes, like, all year long, and we want, like, the vine ripe or whatever, you know, it's showing them that that's what we want and we don't care about their standards, but we do.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they're teaching people without compromising how to eat seasonally. So, and I love that area. I love Powerhouse. And I stumbled across Powerhouse one day. We were out hiking and we had our dog with us and we shopped at Urban Agrarian and we saw a sign that said beer. So we went over there.
Of course, went right to it.
And we took our dog and we sat on the porch and the staff at Powerhouse like loved our dog and barely talked to us. And we were like, yes, this is our place because we feel the same way about dogs and like we love places that love our dogs.
Yeah.
He's our baby.
Yeah.
So.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that's been
that's a cool that's thing. A that's really that's not that wasn't what I expected you to say, but then like when you said it, I was like, that makes yeah. like total sense.
I mean, I think I could probably like nail down some really good meals I've mm-hmm. had, but as far as like collective consistent experience,
yeah,
I've loved it. Like I my friend Andrea helps with those dinners mm-hmm. and really puts them on, and she asked me to serve at one, and I loved it. Yeah. It was like more fun for me to serve than it is to be
sit
served.
Down and eat.
Oh yeah. Okay. I loved it. Cool. I loved being with the team, like mm-hmm. the staff there, and
yeah.
Yeah. Talk about like working towards common good. Like yeah. they're just yeah, I loved
that's,
it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you've been in the Oklahoma City food scene for a while. You're working for, you know, with Edible OKC, and they also have a podcast. It's mm-hmm. called the Edible Happy Hour, mm-hmm. and a couple episodes, and you have on, the last one I listened to was Allison Dake,
uh-huh.
The bakery, brown egg bakery.
Yes.
Tell me, like, a little bit about your experience kind of with that. Like, has it been fun? Like,
yeah,
we're, like, there's only two of us, you know, in Oklahoma yeah. City talking about food on the podcast, so I just wanted to see what you thought.
Yeah, it's been fun. They're really fun because it truly is like a happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, the one with Allison wasn't. It was in the morning.
Okay.
We weren't drinking.
Yeah.
But it's fun just to sit down, and I don't want to like purposely pick favorites, mm-hmm. but my favorite
okay.
was the one that we did with Greg. He worked at Tapworks. He now is he works for Prairie. So okay. he'll like
I don't
help.
Think I listened to that one.
Okay, you have to go back.
Okay.
It's long.
Okay.
Because we were having fun.
Okay.
But he used to work for Tapworks. He works for Prairie L Works now.
Okay.
Prairie Artisan Nails.
Okay.
Yes.
Fun.
And then Joe Quinlan, who owns the Big Friendly Beer Bus.
Okay, I went in there the first time the other day. I had never been in there.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
It was at the pop-up shop.
Yes.
It was so cute.
Yes.
Nice and warm.
Yes.
Just watching everybody walk around.
Yeah, so that was so fun because I knew Greg. We were working together on something, and then I just met Joe that day. We had emailed back and forth a couple of times, but by the end of the podcast, we mm-hmm. like, you know, we talked about all these fun things.
Yeah.
Like all these random, just sharing funny mm-hmm. experiences and like our favorite beers, and I think that has been really fun. Just it's like you have to get to know each other over a podcast because you're talking
yeah.
like we're doing right now.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah, that's been really fun, and you know, it's just been fun to be like kind of on the sidelines cheering on the food industry because
mm-hmm.
I don't at all consider myself like some, I don't know, expert or mm-hmm. like, I don't, you know, I'm not in the kitchen. I'm not in the trenches working
yeah.
as hard as they do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been really fun just being there and kind of being witness and advocating for
yeah.
it. And that's really kind of what I feel like it is. I just, you know, I try to tell their story.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite other food podcasts or like just favorite podcasts in general?
I really like the Sporkful.
Okay, I haven't
that?
Listened to that one.
You'd like it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. What else? I listen to a lot of NPR.
Okay.
They have food podcasts.
Yeah. What are your favorite non-food podcasts?
I really like, right now, let's see, Christy Knuckles.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've heard of her.
Uh-uh.
She is a Christian music artist.
Okay.
And she started a podcast, and I just love it. She's very conversational,
mm-hmm.
And she had a Christmas album coming out,
mm-hmm.
and she talked about the Christmas album. And random fact, I guess it's her brother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
just opened Commonplace Books in
oh,
Midtown.
Okay. I know what you're talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Ben Knuckles?
No, I know the bookstore.
Yes,
I don't think...
yeah, his name is Ben Knuckles.
Oh, okay.
And the bookstore is called Comment Place.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
fun.
Yeah, I liked her podcast,
mm-hmm.
and then I didn't know that was her brother-in-law, but
uh-huh.
someone else found out. But, yeah, so that's kind of a non-food podcast that I like.
Okay, cool. Okay, so we're going to talk, this is like the last kind of like general food question, and then we're going to talk about great Oklahoma restaurant chains. We're going to try to run through them because we're like a little bit running out of time. So what, other than, you know, listening to food podcasts, or we talked about this earlier before we started recording, what like is your favorite way to consume food media? Like
yeah.
you like Instagram. I am a big fan of YouTube videos where
oh.
I watch people like demonstrate
uh-huh.
how they do something. There's some really cool, I can't remember the guy's channel's name, but he is like a a bartender that has like a flamboyant bartender, basically. Mm-hmm. So like he does a lot of tricks and like different things like that. But it's just really fun to watch because like other than, I don't know, maybe like Food Network, you don't get access to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So what's your kind of your favorite?
I really like PBS cooking shows.
Okay.
Like OTA.
Yeah.
Annabelle Langbein is one of my favorites. And she is in New Zealand.
Okay.
And her accent is amazing.
I love an accent.
Yes.
It's great.
And Kiwi accents are so like quirky
to
my ear, you know? Uh-huh. But I love what she cooks. She cooks very healthy and very seasonally, and it's their seasons are opposite of ours.
Mm.
So they're showing like winter cooking right now, but I know that that's like
summer.
They're not current. So it's kind of funny. I really like OETA and I like supporting OETA.
Uh-huh.
And then, Instagram, I follow the feed.
Okay.
They're one of my favorites.
I just followed them like after I saw you had posted something.
Yeah, they're one of my favorites because they don't post like a ton of recipes. I mean, they just kind of talk about food and I like that.
Uh-huh.
Who else do I follow?
Have you, me and Annie Tucker talked about this on our episode.
I love Annie.
She is so great.
Yeah, she is.
What's Gabi cooking? Do you follow her?
No.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
it's your
too.
New favorite. And it's, especially since you told me earlier that you've just gotten into Snapchat.
Yeah.
She is, like, the best on Snapchat.
Okay, I'll have
she's
to look at
great.
It. Yeah, I like following Annie.
Yes, she's good, too.
Yeah, and she's good at her recipes.
She's consistent.
Her blog. Yeah.
Very consistent.
She's disciplined.
Yes, she is. Shout out to Annie. I'm, like, literally going to tweet this at you and be like, listen to this time in the podcast because we're talking about you.
Yeah, I think those are my main ones. Okay. I mean, I like following local people, too, and, like, friends and seeing what they're cooking.
Yeah. And that's always fun whenever you see someone that, like, doesn't generally, like, post a food.
Yes.
Instagram.
It's like I want to cheer for them.
I have to tell all of my Instagram followers, I wasn't planning on doing this. Everyone needs to follow Sylvain Haché. So, Sylvain is, let me find him real quick. And I'll spell it for you guys. Sylvain is my friend Sarah's husband. And right now, Sarah and Sylvain are on a farm, an organic farm in Florida called Little Pond Farm. And Sylvain just started his Instagram. He has, like, he had an Instagram, but he, like, hasn't posted on
it. So pretty.
So he is, like, fire Instagram posts.
And puppies.
They have a ton of farm
food
dogs.
Food and puppies. I'm good.
And he has the best cap. Like, these are, like, his other photos. But, like, he has the best captions. It's, like, him and Sarah. And Sarah actually printed me off some of his Instagrams because she, like, knew I liked it so much. And I have them framed in my house. Everybody go follow him because he's got some really, really cool stuff. But, yeah, that's one of my favorites, too. Okay, so let's hit them hard and, like, hit them good. I can't be a podcast host. Okay, we're going to talk about great Oklahoman restaurant chains. And me and my friend Judy started a list, but I figured we could, like, go into it. You're from Oklahoma, and you love food, and we love local, so we're going to go through it. Number one, Brahms.
So Brahms, they've been around.
You can tell they've been around.
Yes, and whenever people, like, don't know what Brahms is, I think it took me a long time to realize that it's not in other states. Like, it's like a certain range or a certain amount of miles that they can drive. And I just feel really bad for the people that are outside of that.
I know, me too.
But I mean, they've been around. And one thing I like about them, their marketing has not changed.
No,
they are using the same footage and the same coupon. Like, we get coupons in the mail.
Yeah.
And
it's the same.
It's so dated. But I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like they're good. I like their ice cream.
Yeah.
I like their burgers every once in a while.
I like their crinkle cut fries.
I do too.
I mean.
Yeah, and I like that they have the little market inside the store. I don't shop very often in that, but if there's an emergency, I like that. And my grandpa, he lived really close to your Brahms, and my grandma, mm-hmm. like, I was raised on Brahms because of her, because she loved ice cream.
Yeah.
Like, or she actually liked frozen yogurt. Uh-huh. But after my grandma died, mm-hmm. my papa was, you know, kind of taking care of himself. Like, he was a man who mm-hmm. never, like, cooked for himself, never did his own laundry before okay. she died. So he lived in the Brahms market place uh-huh. area, and they were so kind and good to him.
Yeah.
And it was really, he just needed that little loop. He didn't need a whole grocery store, and it was just adorable.
Literally, that is very sweet, and but I'm cracking up because I had a roommate like that, and she was like a 50-year-old woman. Like, she just
made the loop.
All she did was like, and then she would get those like soft baked cookies at the end. Oh, you know?
That's so funny. Yeah. That's, so Brahms is like close to my heart. Yeah. And they just haven't changed. And I don't think they ever will.
No. And I love Brahms so much. If I ever move away from Oklahoma, I think like Brahms is probably like what I would miss the most. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It's good. City Bites.
So City Bites, they also have Cow Cafe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
great.
Which is good. Really so City good Bites burgers. Is like a staple. Yeah. I know that their like headquarters are in Edmond mm-hmm. and I've randomly been there one time, but yeah, I mean they're like family mm-hmm. owned. They, you know, kind of have it down and
the sexiest logo in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and their bathrooms are controversial.
Their bathrooms, if you guys have never been in a City Bite, all the Chicago listeners that I got last episode.
Yeah, I didn't even consider that people haven't
been. If you City Bites is a sandwich place. It's better than like a Subway.
Yeah.
It like they have really big soft cookies. Oh my gosh. Their pumpkin yeah. cookie was like ahead of its time.
Yeah.
That's and true. They have their bathrooms are you walk in and all the walls are like one-sided mirrors, mm-hmm. so like everybody sees a mirror, but like you see out in the bathroom, and it's like yeah. kind of freaky, like yeah. just a little bit.
They were like on the cusp of voyeurism, like yeah. 21 seats bathrooms are like that.
I haven't been there.
So when you like go into the bathroom on the lobby floor, it's like like you can see the outside, but as soon as you open the door, it goes opaque, so you can't see.
Oh,
it's interesting.
I'll have to. I've only been to the like the little bar area yeah. one time on a kind of terrible Tinder date. So
oh, man.
yeah, I didn't really get to enjoy
you can
it.
Try it again.
yes, but I used to eat City Bites all the time in college. I have friends that it's like that's my one of my favorite meals in Oklahoma City, mm-hmm. like their veggie sandwich.
Yeah.
So they're kind of, and then Cow Cafe is great.
Uh-huh,
it's
it
really
is.
Good. Chilinos. Oh, you wrote maybe on here.
I just don't know much about Chilinos.
Oh, okay. I don't know that much about Chilinos either, but it is like an Oklahoman.
I live like up the street from one, and we walked there one night.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of like, oh, like it's good. And I know some people love it, uh-huh. but it's like, it's not, you know, it's just kind of what it is.
Yeah.
And that Chilinos is actually in an old Brahms.
What? Yes. Wait, what?
Yeah.
That's kind of incredible.
Yeah.
The thing that I like about Chilinos is their Dr. Pepper is better than, like, any Dr. Pepper ever.
Oh, they must put, like, more syrup
they
put
in something in it. That, yeah, they probably put more syrup
That's
in
funny.
It.
That's funny. Yeah, we live so close to one, I should, like, give it another try.
Yeah, you should try
but
it again.
I just haven't, like, that was a place that we went all the time mm-hmm. when that's all there was.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like I just, you know, maybe I need to get to know them again.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Louise.
So, Louis is part of Hal Smith.
Right.
Yep. Hal Smith has been around, like, since, like, late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So, they have Louis Garage. Interurban's someone else. Charleston's.
I didn't know the garage was Hal Smith.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And Mahogany.
Mahogany's Hal Smith?
Yep. What else?
Schooling
Legacy
right
Grill,
now.
Which used to be Katie's, mm-hmm. the artist formerly known as.
Yeah.
And what else?
I'm going to bleep his name out. we're going to be like, no.
Yeah, I went to, like, the soft opening of Legacy Grill.
Mm-hmm.
And, they, like, did all these cool things with the Oklahoma Heritage Association, which
yeah.
I think is so great. But I just, like, there was just this air
Hole
of, like,
heart.
Oh.
Yeah.
But it's exciting what they're doing, and their food is good.
Yeah.
Like, Hal Smith is, like, a staple.
Yeah, it's like,
and they don't seem like they're corporate,
mm-mm.
but they are. Some of them are outside of Oklahoma City,
yeah,
or outside of Oklahoma. So
yeah.
kind of a, it's a big group. I know I didn't name them all.
Yeah, but. I went to Hefner Grill today.
Yeah,
Charleston's is a Christmas Eve. We always go to Charleston's mm-hmm. on Christmas Eve. Me and my parents.
Yeah,
Yeah, Louis has like one of my favorite meals in Oklahoma City because it's always the same, which mm-hmm. is the avocado burger and sweet potato fries. Yeah. And it's just like, you used to eat that in college and, you know, it's just been with
They're
me.
They're consistent.
It's very consistent.
Yeah.
Mazio's.
So Mazio's, they've been around since the 60s and they're mm-hmm. in Tulsa.
Yes.
And they used to own Zio's. They sold Zio's.
Because, like, Mazio's.
Yeah.
And
which I never really
Zio's
knew that until
terrible.
Recently. Yeah.
Zio's
and they sold
really
them.
Bad.
I'm not sure when it got bad. If it's after they sold them or, like, what the timeline was.
Right.
Mazio's, yeah. I mean, like, used to go there all the time as a kid.
Yeah.
I think my husband still does.
I still order the calzone to my house.
Really?
Yes, all the time.
Okay.
Because the ranch dressing also, too. You know about it?
I mean, I guess I just don't recall.
Okay. She's like, I forgot. So, I have a funny story, and, but my last guest, Brendan, which we recorded the episode in Chicago, he didn't say it on the podcast, but a little bit later, he tweeted at OKC Over Easy, and it was like, ranch is repugnant. He's like, ranch is, like, gross. And he was like, later he was like, did I mess up? I was like, I think you did. Like, because ranch is such a part of Oklahoma.
Yeah, it is.
Culture. Like, they just bring the ranch with the pizza, you mm-hmm. know? And, like, living in Chicago is like, that is like, you
it's
know.
It's like, why would we put ranch on our pizza?
That is terrible.
Yeah.
But he was like, I'm willing to try again.
Yeah.
You know? So. My strongest case for ranch is Mazio's. I'm curating a list of, like, the best sauces in Oklahoma mm-hmm. City. So I've been working on that. I'll maybe have
on
to get
ranch.
Some...
Hmm.
Well, ranch and then just, like, condiments. So,
yeah.
like, pink sauce from Empire.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever. So I'm working on a list. We're gonna figure that out, too.
I love sauce.
I love sauce.
I love dipping. Like, I just... I need something.
And then, like, the ketchup at... Waffle Champion,
mm-hmm.
you know, like things like that. That you're like, I want
think,
all of
yeah.
the sauces.
Yeah,
but Mazio's Ranch is definitely on there.
That's so funny. I'm gonna have to look into that.
I have some in the fridge. I don't play. All About Cha.
So All About Cha, I kind of have a funny connection to them.
Okay,
the first one in America.
Okay.
was in Edmond, Oklahoma, and it was opened by a couple named
uh-huh.
Chang and Yoon.
Okay.
And I can't remember how we met,
mm-hmm.
but we were like one of their first customers.
Okay.
I think it was for a connection to international people through UCO. Anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love All About Cha, and I love like the Korean influence that they brought, and there's All About Cha's all over Korea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about all over. I guess I can't say that. So they've opened some new ones, and then Daniel Che has opened some.
And
Che
as in
Che.
Che is
yes.
one of my
yeah.
favorite restaurants.
It's so good, and he's so kind.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Chang and Yoon own the one in Bricktown.
Okay.
And there's one in Norman, and there's, like, they're all over.
There's one
on
right
May.
By my work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I, yeah, that's where
yeah,
I work.
I love it. I think it's cool that it was a chain that came from Korea.
Okay.
And the reason why they came to Edmond was sort of the connection with
UCO.
Because UCO brings so many international mm-hmm. students, which brings us a lot of awesome ethnic food.
Yeah, that's...
Really solid. Yeah.
That's fun.
What we lack in local food, we make up for in ethnic
food. Yeah, because I'm like, right outside the Asian district.
Yes.
So it's, like, I have... my pick of whatever.
Yeah.
I like All About Cha. We go to the one, if we're having, like, kind of a bad day at work, we'll go to the one, like, by our work and get, like, a giant sushi roll and, like, a green tea latte. And it's, like, a little bit indulgent because it's, like, I don't know, like a $15 lunch.
Yeah.
And it's, like, that's not usually...
It's not an everyday thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's very special, and it's, like, the service is really slow,
yeah.
so it's like you linger
well,
there. But
and
it's
I think
like
it's like
nice.
A cultural like
yeah.
they know how to slow down.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I'm not like speaking for their culture. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I think I know what you mean. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I think they have done a great job of just bringing something so new and different,
mm-hmm.
and doing it their own way. You know, because
yeah.
I love Urban Tea House. Like that's
mm-hmm.
my place,
mm-hmm.
and All Bat Cha has tea, but it's different. They have, like, Gogoma, which is a sweet potato tea, and they have, like, all these different things.
That you wouldn't necessarily have access to otherwise.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so we kind of talked about the garage because it's Hal Smith. S&B Burgers.
Yeah.
Do you know, I don't know what restaurant group they're in.
So, they're part of, like, a group,
uh-huh.
but without, like, a name.
Okay.
So, S and B, like, uh-huh. there's an S and there's a B.
Okay.
So, I think there's, I don't know, maybe, like, four around the metro. I know there's one in Lawton,
mm-hmm.
And there's some kind of, like, outliers okay. that I'm not really sure where they are, but, so the S is who started Sunnyside.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
A separate, I love Sunnyside. Separate from his, that group of people, uh-huh. kind of group of investors, and yeah.
I know, and Sunnyside has had some, like I've heard mixed reviews.
Yeah.
I had a great experience.
I loved it. I mean, yeah. I love it. I'll go back, mm-hmm. and yeah, I think it's really good, and it is what it is. Like, they're not trying too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think sometimes
people happens. Try a little too hard.
It's breakfast.
Yeah.
Just let it be.
It's breakfast. This is what I've been thinking about because I've been trying to think about my, like, relationship with restaurants and food and, like, I don't want to use the word, like, brand, but, like, the things that I like and how it relates to, I don't know, like, this podcast or, like, if I wanted to do food writing in the future and, like, things like that. And it's definitely, like, playful. Like, and mm-hmm. breakfast is my meal. Like, yeah. breakfast is my favorite and brunch. But things that are just, like, fun and, like, you're right. Like, not taking themselves too seriously. I am not a dinner, like, sit down and have this, like, chef's tasting of whatever. That's not something that I enjoy
mm-hmm.
as much as I enjoy being at a diner and having, like, some greasy fried chicken and some gravy. So it's like, this is real, this is me. Like, that's like how it is. And that, I feel like Sunnyside is definitely like that for sure.
It's approachable.
Yeah.
Yeah, comfortable.
Sonic. I know Sonic is like a national chain now.
Yeah.
But it
did. They're not. So it started in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
My dad went to high school with the guy who started it. His name's Cliff Hudson.
Oh my gosh.
And he's a really good man.
Okay.
Like, really charitable where he lives.
Yeah.
So I love that about him. And I think a lot of people don't realize the people behind mm-hmm. it. You know, they have their corporate office is in Bricktown.
Yes.
And they just do a lot for the area around them in so many ways. But they have, like, I don't know, I think like close to 4,000
Sonics.
Yes.
Yeah, they're all
And they started
over.
In Shawnee.
That's wild to me. And people love Sonic. I am not, like, a Sonic, like, meal fan, but I'm a definite Sonic drink fan, a definite Sonic snack fan. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We did, like, an ultimate ranking one time of, like, all the Sonic snacks, like, just me and my friends, but,
that's a good corn dog.
Yes, the corn dog is
it's
great.
Like, sometimes that just sounds really good.
Sometimes you just need cheddar bites, like, and that's it. That's all you need, you
and
know?
They burn your mouth because they're so hot.
I remember when we first moved here, I moved from California, and we moved to Nuwala, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, middle of nowhere. All we had was a Sonic, and I remember driving there, and my parents were like, why would you want to drive in to a restaurant
a
and then just
do.
Sit in your car mm-hmm. and eat? Which now it doesn't seem weird to me, but mm-hmm. at the time I think we were kind of like, what is this?
Yeah.
But yeah, Sonic is like definitely, you can't discount that it started here, you know?
Yeah, and a lot of people like learned about it here.
Mm-hmm.
And then were so excited when it came to where they chose to move.
Or live.
Yeah.
Okay, Jimmy's Egg.
So, Jimmy's Egg started, I think, like, early, I don't know, early. The first one was on May.
May.
Like, 16th-ish.
Okay. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still there. So, it was started by a guy named Jim.
Have you been waiting, like, this entire time?
Yeah. And a Vietnamese refugee named Lock Lee.
Cool.
Bought Jimmy's Egg in some way or fashion, and the ones around here are his.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
There's another family,
uh-huh.
and also like back kind of in the hand of another guy named Jim, which is just funny. But they are like franchising throughout the country, mostly like southern, because that's just how things go.
Yeah.
And there's one in Clifton Park, New York, which is just so they are really popping up, and I think they like plan to grow.
Yeah.
A lot.
I need to go back to Jimmy's Egg. I just have like I've just never been like a huge fan of it.
Well, they're kind of like they're independent. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of
they don't know which one.
And the ones that are like are outside. Mm-hmm. Of Oklahoma are not even outside of the metro or look different.
Yeah, they do. That's the Midwest City one has like scorned me a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like it happens. Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, when you go from franchising or when you're a chain, mm-hmm. and you're franchising, they're different. Mm-hmm. And different things happen under different ownership. And yeah, so it's a good business to get in, like franchising restaurants, uh-huh. but I think it's hard for consistency purposes.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Yeah.
Johnny's.
So Johnny's, like, I mean, I just really like a Frankfurter with Johnny's sauce.
Really?
Yeah.
I am like a Frankfurter girl.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of, as a child, I didn't really eat beef, and that was my choice. Now I like beef, but yeah, I just, like, I grew up on Frankfurters.
I don't think I have ever had one from Johnny's.
It's good. It's a hot dog on a bun, but, like, laid, it's, like, cut in a specific way that it's, like,
patty. In that,
it's, like, I don't understand how they do it.
Okay.
But it's so good. And then that same family, the Haynes family, they have West. And they have Urban Johnny's.
Okay. I didn't know they had West, but I knew about Urban Johnny's. They ate there this weekend.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about Johnny's, it's like a hidden, I don't know if it's hidden, but when I used to weigh a lot more, I would get the the breakfast biscuit with, oh my gosh. Have you had it?
No.
Okay. There's a Johnny's right across from my office, but it's a breakfast biscuit with cheese, egg, and I don't know if there's sausage on it or not. I want to say there is egg, cheese, and sausage, and then they put jelly in there, so then put the jelly on it, and it is like the biscuit is so biscuity that it like stuck. I don't even know the word, but it like sticks to the top of your mouth, and you've got like the jelly in there and the cheese.
That sounds and it good. Is I've never had
so
that.
So good, like Friday morning. Just go
I'm
get it
to do that.
And then report back to me.
So funny. Johnny's it's good.
Yeah,
like, Johnny's and Brahms were like in Luby's. Were the places that I always went with my grandparents.
Okay.
So they're like so kind of like, sentimental. Is Luby's still around?
I don't remember the last time I saw Luby's.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not, but...
Yeah.
Well, I used to spend a lot of time there.
There's, like, a lot to be said about, like, food and memories, I think.
It's so true.
It is.
Yeah.
It is really, really... That's important to me, for sure.
Yeah.
Another... I just added these at the end because I thought of them, but Johnny's and then Earl's Barbecue.
Yeah, so...
I mean, Earl's is fine. My dad loves Earl's.
Yeah.
I
don't really go very often.
I don't need the one in Bricktown, like maybe like I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Go to Harkins.
I forget about
and
that
then
one.
Go to
Yeah, I love barbecue.
Is Fuzzy's a chain from Oklahoma or no?
No.
Okay.
No, but they like so Social Order Dining Collective.
Yes, Annie Tucker.
Yes. So they own Fuzzy's Oklahoma.
Okay.
And I believe they like bought Oklahoma.
Okay.
And then they have Texadelphia.
Yeah.
And the Jones.
Yeah.
And there's something else.
The Jones.
747?
Yeah, 747.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I guess they're a chain in some ways, but locally owned. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so out of... I wrote this, like, question, and I don't mean it like garbage,
but
what is your favorite like garbage fast food chain restaurant?
Yeah, I didn't even have to think.
It's okay.
Taco Bueno.
That is so real.
Yeah.
And it's like there are people that I know that don't live in Oklahoma and the first thing that they do when they come to like Oklahoma or Texas
we
is
host
go to...
people like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, would you like me to cook you dinner? No, thank you. I love going to Taco Bueno.
And it's like just down the street from me, I just like don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
What do you get?
I this is really telling of me. I'm in their email club. So they have like amazing coupons.
Okay.
And so, like, their coupon sometimes guides what I get.
Oh, great. That is perfect.
So, but I love their Mexi dips and chips. And that's just, like, my favorite. Party burrito. I love it. Like, that is another place that we grew up on.
Yeah.
And my, like, my dad's office is really close to Taco Bueno. Uh-huh. And my family and I talk about all the time. Taco Bueno, if anyone from there is listening, we need another one in Edmond. That's where I live. That's where I grew up.
Okay.
I haven't been there the whole time, but I'm back. And it's just outrageous how long the line is. And I may have...
the one on 2nd Street.
Yes.
Yes. I have a story about that one.
Yeah. Because you see, I may have, like, looked into buying a franchise. And if anyone...
Please do that.
If anyone wants to loan me, like, I think my net worth has to be, like, $1.5 million. Okay. Like, I'm like, well, if, like, me and 60 other people want to go in together. But, I mean, like, we need, need it. And I love it.
That is a great thing to, like, want and, like...
Yeah.
I'm serious. I was going to say that, like, I did not grow up on Taco Bueno, but when I went to UCO, that was the closest fast food restaurant to the sorority house. So it was like,
true that. Yeah.
That we would get Mexi dips and chips all the time. And then when I worked at UCO, it was literally down the street from the alumni house. And I just would eat, I would get Mexi dips and chips combo with the muchaco, no guac, double queso.
Sometimes that one is tough to go into. Like, I think drive-thru is kind of the way to go.
Yes, absolutely. But the line is dumb. Like, the line's dumb.
And sometimes people sit on 2nd Street. I've totally done it. I'm like, I just have to get some Bueno. And then there's someone on May that's, like, new. And,
May
well,
and
new,
what?
Maybe, like, 6 years ago. May and, I don't know.
I'm on 50th, this 23rd and 10.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's the one that I
have, like, funny memories with Taco Bueno. Like, when I was in college, there was one on Lindsay. I went to OU.
Uh-huh.
And when I needed to, like, get away.
Yeah.
Like, I was overstimulated. I would go to Taco Bueno and eat in my car. And then I used to work with homeless people. Uh-huh. And I worked, like, up the street from the one on Penn. And I would go to Taco Bueno and I would, like, be alone and eat in my car.
Yeah.
Like, so I have, like, these weird memories of, like, I don't know.
I kind of
eating my feelings, but it's good.
It's all good. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
Well, and I, like, because you asked me, you're talking to me about, like, these random restaurant chains. Did I happen to know things about?
I know.
Like,
I like
facts. I don't know why. But
I love that though.
I looked up Taco Bueno, and the guy who started Taco Bueno was born in Oklahoma.
Okay.
And then he also started Casa Bonita.
I've never heard of Casa Bonita.
May have been gone, like, before we could really remember.
Okay.
Like, it was like my parents' staple.
Okay.
So he opened both of those. Mm-hmm. But Taco Bueno did not start in Oklahoma.
Okay.
But they've had a long, long history.
But he's from Oklahoma.
He is.
Cool.
Yeah. So kind of funny.
Good
things come from Oklahoma. That is the gist of this.
Absolutely. If you learn one thing from this podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. So... we're going to wrap it up. So this is my last question.
It's been like 3 hours.
No, let's see. No, we're
oh,
totally
nice. Have
fine.
You gotten to the end of this?
Congratulations. There will be a $50 gift. I'm just kidding. Favorite meal in Oklahoma City?
Okay. I don't want to overthink it.
Don't.
I think that consistency, quality, service, Packards.
Okay. Wow. That's the first Packards I've had. But, yes, I agree. Mm-hmm.
And their menu changes.
Take a bite. And I was like, I can't.
Oh, my god.
They'd be like, ugh. I mean, yeah.
So,
maybe.
_ Annie Tucker.
So, follow her on all the things you need to because she's cool and posts great food pictures. And we're best friends now. So yeah.
Okay, that's that.
And then you can follow me on Twitter at OKCOverEasy. My regular Twitter is, like, linked to it, so it's just at Mallory. And then you can follow my Snapchat. It's MalloryMC, and I do OKCOverEasy stuff, but, like Annie said, just other stuff, too. I sing a song about cats whenever I see them in my neighborhood. So shout out to everybody that knows the cat and loves the cat song. So follow me there, and then if you want to email me, I haven't gotten any emails except for H&M and Bed Bath & Beyond coupons.
which are really useful. Well,
yeah, because I usually do a mailbag segment, but I didn't have any. You can email me at okcovereasy@aol.com. We'll be coming to you next week or whenever I decide to post it, a second part, and we're going to rank social media accounts for different restaurants and things like that. So thank you for coming.
It was so fun.
I'm so excited that you got to come. So we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.